Abdullah, would you come up so they can get a good look at this good-looking guy? It's so funny. We first met each other. We have mutual friends. Years ago, I went on a mission trip with a youth pastor from East Hill Foursquare. It's up in Gresham, a large Foursquare church, and they took a bus of kids, and they picked up, I don't know, we probably still had 20 kids that came from our church in Albany and picked us up. And so I met this this pastor, and he in turn became a missionary in Turkey, and he was Abdullah's pastor. As Abdullah received the Lord and then stepped out and became the pastor of that church. And so I'm excited for this season as he shares the word this morning and just the process of God growing him in this next chapter. So Lord bless you as you share it with us today.
Okay. I think the sound is on, right? Okay. Good morning. It's still morning, right? Yeah. When we finish, it might be noon. Pastor Scott never told me that how long I have to speak, so I plan for 3 hours. That will do. I'll try to finish quickly. My name is Abdullah Tulunay. I'm from Turkey. And my wife is Lizel. She is from Oregon. She's right there in the corner. Do you want to stand up? No. She's my beautiful wife there. And this is how I ended up in Oregon, actually. we've been married in 4 years. We married in 2020. And now we are expecting our first baby in this July. I didn't tell her that I'm going to tell you this, so I might get in trouble today. So, as Pastor Scott said, I became a Christian in the college time, end of my college life. This was 2011 or 2010. There's a debate. I think it's the end of the 10, beginning of the 11. So, and I started serving the church, go to church, and learn about the Christ. I'm going to share you some little details about that at the end of this sermon, if you stay awake. And if not, I will just pass it. Maybe we'll talk next time. And I started serving the church very quickly. This was Ankara, the capital city of Turkey. And I moved to Istanbul in my first year of the new life to start a church with my pastor, Zach. And now he is actually lives in Montana right now. And they kicked him out of Turkey. And after serving 8 years as a pastor in Istanbul, after founding a church, or more than one church actually, he founded three churches as far as I know in two different cities. And his seeds are actually grow today. Those churches are planting in other churches. And after he kicked out of it, and we've been asked to continue to the pastoral role, our nation pastor gave us a phone call one day and said, can you continue to serve in the church as a pastor? And I said, I don't maybe want to, but I will do it. I mean, who has like a good life and a little bit logic will not want to be pastor? It's not a desirable job. I can say you that after just only serving 3.5 years, I realized that it's not an easy call. So always pray your four pastors. Always pray for Pastor Scott and Jackie and like, all their life is dedicating to people and serving and humbly, and it's amazing. So I'm really thankful for them and thankful for all the pastors that who serve people. So in September this year, we moved to America, to Oregon. I'm going to seminary. I started school Corbin and the Christian leadership, and hopefully we'll be finishing next three to four years somewhere. So when God leads us, we'll be doing this service. So I'm from Turkey, and Turkey is an old country. So if you know in the map, this is where the Turkey is. Is there anybody here that been in Turkey before? I know that some people. Okay. So some of you traveled there. Some of you never heard about it, maybe, or like doesn't know much about it. But I'm pretty sure in Oregon, when you say the hazelnut, that everybody knows Turkey. So the Turkey is producing 70% of the world hazelnuts. It's the biggest supporter of the Nutella and the Ferrero company. And now Oregon is getting strong. I see so many hazelnut trees and filberts, you call them. They're growing up here. But Turkey, in all the northern Turkey, the north east corner, the cities, like there is a farms of the hazelnuts, just not like a farms, the whole cities, the mountains, like constantly covered with the hazelnuts. It's so they love to produce that. And the Turkey is the biggest tea drinking country in the world. So the coffee is not a big thing, but the tea it is, the black tea. So from morning, you wake up at 6 a.m., you start drinking tea all the way till midnight, until 1 a.m. Like you try to leave the house, they keep pouring the tea on your cup still in the midnight. They love the tea. So it's important. But is this only the reason why Turkey is important? Today, we're sharing from the Word of God. So the Turkey is biblically important country. Not only by the good weather, a beautiful Mediterranean coast, you should go. It's amazing holiday country, but it's really important for biblically. So we have some things happened in the Bible in Turkey. So we have a couple important things in Turkey. There is Mount Ararat. Yeah, where is the Noah Ark landed is in Turkey. And the city of Ur, have you heard this city before in the Bible? Abraham lived in Turkey. And Paul is from Turkey. The city of Tarsus, that's in today modern Turkey's border. You can see on the map is Tarsus. And the seven churches of Revelation, they all in Turkey right now. And the councils, the first four or five church councils, all held in Turkish border right now. So it is a country that we should remember and think about it and pray for it, since it's like it's in God's plan from the beginning to the end. It will be in His plans. So I'm going to share you about today in my city. It's one of the cities that mentioned in the seven churches in the Revelation chapter 3. Verse from 14 and all the way to 22, it talks about my city, where I'm from in Turkey. So I grew up in this city, the Laodicea, the city called. And this Laodicea is the southwest of Turkey on the map. And I'm from that city. So when Bible talks about you, you might think, oh, it's really cool, right? Your city name's mentioned in the Bible. It is not cool. 80% of the chance you're doing something really wrong and God is warning you. You're about to die. Or like, the angel of wrath is coming, the flood is coming. Something is wrong is happening. And when I see my city name on the Bible, I was happy but also nervous. Like, what did we do wrong this time, God? I mean, there are chances God may say good things about your life and the person in that city. But most of the time, it's a warning. So this chapter is actually quite a good warning to this city. So let's read together what God said to this beautiful city. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 and on. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea, write the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works, you are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were neither cold or hot. So because you're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I'm rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counseled you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may be clothed yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and sell to your anointed eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, and so be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and open the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him sit with me on my throne. I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Amen. So this is in the chapter of Revelation, God is speaking things to these seven churches. So some people think this is are the things that already happened. Some people may interpret this as that these are the things going to happen in future, in the end days. And some people say these are actually a warnings to the people of these churches. And you can also interpret it as these are the warnings to ourselves today. So I see, as a foreign person of Laodicea, I see a lot of resemblance even today to my city and the word that God is actually talking to the city. So they said, let's look at this, the word together in just a smaller part. And it started as, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. So actually, the faithful and true witness is Jesus, here is the mentioned. And Amen means he said true. So God is actually speaking directly through Jesus. And then he says, I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were neither cold nor hot. So because you're lukewarm, neither nor hot or cold, I will spit out of my mouth. So when you read these verses first, you start to think about, what is God talking about here? Like, is he talking about a coffee or a cold beverage in the summer days? Like, that's the first thing that comes to your mind, right? Or maybe, like, I think about this. You wake up in a cold winter morning, a nice cup of hot coffee is useful. It's good. Or in the hot summer day, you go to a restaurant. I love this in America. Whenever you sit in the restaurant, they give you one big cup of ice water. And my wife always says, no ice, please. I never understood her. So it's a beautiful thing to have ice in your drink. I love it. So, and it's a good thing. But God is not actually talking about this thing only. You can understand the other way. The hot water is good for shower. The cold water is good for a drink or, you know, useful. Have you ever drink a coffee that sits in the same mug for 2 hours and you forget and try to drink it again? It's lukewarm. And then how do you feel? It's gross. Especially tea is grosser than that. I tell you that. Coffee is, you can heat up the coffee, but not the tea. The tea is done. When it's lukewarm, my mom, when she goes to the restaurant, she orders the tea. And when the teacups come, she touches it. And then she just say, waiters, can you change this, please? It's not hot enough. So I said, what do you mean? It's like you can see the steam coming out. She says, no, it has to burn my hand when I touch it. So this is how she likes her tea. And I've seen her so many times that she changed her tea just without touching the lips. Just touches it and it says it's cold. So it has to be boiling level. And if you ask me how they do it to serve you hot tea, they take the cup, put it under the boiling water, like the pouring over while holding the handle. They keep the cup first warm and then pour the boiling tea on it and then serve to you. That's the way that they serve, she liked to do served. But God is not talking about here these things. He's talking about actually the church. He's warning this church because they were not helpful to the churches around them. So the church of Laodicea had a problem, either internal problems, but those internal problems were holding them to serving the kingdom of God. So they were not serving themselves. They were not also serving to other churches around them. So God said, I wish you were either cold, useful one way, or hot or useful in another way, but you are doing nothing. You are lukewarm, and that's why I don't like you. But God is good. God is good, and he knows how to speak to people in this time. So in the next the picture, that's the Laodicea, the, how it looks like today. So if you go to Laodicea, you see natural pools. They are warm. Just in the winter, in the summer, they're always perfect temperature. You will not get cold. They are like a natural hot springs. And there's so many natural pools like this on these hills. And people take baths. I had one picture to put myself, but I decided that's not maybe a good idea. So I just look it from the Google, and I found a fun picture. And they have a really good cold water too, a drinkable water. So when I grew up in the city, I remember there were fountains on the streets, like in the corner of the street. Imagine you walk in the Lebanon. There is a big water fountain. There is no faucet on it. Nobody think about we should close this. Because it was 24/7 constantly pouring you fresh water. The city is blessed with underwater sources as well. So every home had a small well in front of it. And you should not dig too much when you do the new construction because the water will come up. So the houses was only like one or two floor. They were not very tall buildings in the past. And I remember these good days. The big water companies realized they cannot sell water to you when there's this much fresh water. They first put a faucet on these fountains. They close it, the hole, and then they took it off all the way. Now people are buying the water. So it's the it is the human nature that they destroy God's beautiful things. So the Bible warned this city, for you say, I'm rich, I'm prospered, and I need nothing. So why God say that? It doesn't say to any other city in the Bible, like in the not written Revelation, that you are rich and prospered. This city is an ancient city, by the way. It's not a new one. It's about 2,250 years old. The first, the Roman or pre-Hellenistic people built the stuff in the city. And since that day, it became an important part of the country. So because there's a natural springs, they are really good with medicine. They are really good with hospital. The Roman kings was traveling all the way from Rome to the Laodicea to get treatment. Because in the winter, it's cold in Italy, and they like to travel here, especially if there's a war with Persia or somewhere. They come to the city, and they stay there and get like in the hot spring and heal their bones and heat their body. And today it's same. And also it's a great business place. It's right on the crossing roads of the southwest of Turkey. So there's a lot of goods, trades, and people are rich. People are prospered. And they say, we don't need anything. The soil in this city is so blessed. Even today, you can harvest 3 times in 1 year. You can produce any fruit you want. If there was an old volcano by the city, so the soil is very rich on the minerals. So you can produce any fruits you want, any green, anything that you wanted, you can grow it. So as a person from Laodicea, you don't have to actually buy anything from anyone. You can have sheep, you can have cattle, you can have cotton, oil, hot springs and fruits and grains. You're rich, like you have everything. And the God said, I know, but actually you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. So I understand all the way the part the naked, right? You're wretched, pitiable, poor, but why God called them naked? Do you have any guess? Because this city is famous with its cotton. So they produce the world's highest quality cotton. So even the Roman kings was ordering clothes from the Laodicea. The city was producing the best quality of the cotton in the world and exporting, like sending to other parts of the Roman Empire. And they were so proud with their garments. And they were able to dye the things to the purple. And if you know, that's a very valuable color on that time. So they were producing the king's clothes and robes and everything. But God said, I know that you are naked in the real life. So we have 3 things that we said. I had a slide for it. Okay, the gold, we say, this is the when they excavate to those ancient cities today, they keep finding gold. In Turkey, we have a joke, don't dig too much, the minister of tourism will come and take your land, because you'll find something. This is the reality, like today, there was recent a pipeline work. They were digging just a pipe for to put a new pipe, you know, for the city, and they dig too much, and they found a Roman road. Now the whole project is cancelled. Now the historians will come and all the archaeologists, and they have to do their job first. So we have a joke like, don't dig too much. Or you go to villages, you see people sitting in the Roman stones, and I said, where did you get that? He said, well, I was just making my home and I found in the cornerstone. I'm just using it as my outdoor desk. And my wife seen that, like my neighbor in the village. They have a Roman stone made a barbecue table. So there's so many archaeology in Turkey. You should go. And there's so much. People can only care about a few of them, the most important ones. But the others up in the mountains, nobody cares. So the second thing is the textile. And I told you about it is very high quality textile they do. And I said mud here, but my wife said it's not mud, it's a salve. I never heard this word before. In Turkish, we don't use this one, but it's like a salve, kind of like an ointment. Yeah, they produce a special ointment that healed the people's eyes. So they were using for the centuries that, and this is why God is saying that you are poor, blind, and naked. You think that you have the best gold in the world? You are very famous with the richness. You may think that you can heal the blindness, and you may think that you have the best clothes in the world. But in reality, you are the opposite. You are opposite of those things. And God is saying that God knows how to speak to people. He knows exactly what we pride with, and He speaks against those things. So if in our life today, if we're facing a struggle in some part of our life, that means God wants to taste us and change us in those things. So God is using the sickness, God is using the gold and the prosperity even today. I mean, I can say we can see a similarity today's nation, right, and the city of Laodicea on that time. So today's people are prosper. They have cars and the money and eat the food and have a home. And it's like, we don't think about this too much, but I'll take you to a little bit of history, back on the history. So in just about 100 years ago, people were only able to bath twice a year, if they're lucky. The kings were the only one had some out-season food preserved for them. They could not have ice. They didn't have ice cream. They didn't have houses like as big as we have. They couldn't travel as fast as we do. They didn't have this much clothes at all. They were wearing same clothes over and over again. They were washing the things with their hands on the rocks and beating them with the sticks. How it is easy now. Just put in a machine and press the button and we complain. Life is tough. We say doing laundry is a big job. It's the biggest test for the marriages, right? You do laundry, who's going to fold them? Who's going to put them in the right place? And they're piling up in the corner. So we are prosper than those cities today. We eat better than anybody in the history, and we have more clothes than ever people had before. We had so much that we want to place a donate. We're looking for, where can I get rid of these clothes? That will be never a problem 2,000 years ago. So today, I feel like God is speaking to our church today as well. We cannot just say these are the old people. The God is talking in the past and it's over. The Word of God is alive and He speaks to today and tomorrow and forever. Amen. So the 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, but as it is written, what no eyes has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. So one day God is going to give us the clothes and all the things that we never seen before. So we have to grasp this idea. So God is not just judging them. He is not just telling you're doing everything wrong and leaving, the ending the letter. No, He's giving them a recipe. He's giving them a way to get saved. And He say, I counsel to you, buy from me gold refined by fire. Okay, they already have a gold. So the God said, buy gold from me. Does God sell a gold? What comes to your mind when you hear this first time? So what is God is telling them? Is actually telling them, if you look at the 1 Peter 1:6 and 7, it says, in this you rejoice, through now for a little while, if necessary you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may it be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the gold that wants them to have it. So the revelation of Jesus Christ. God said, leave these worldly professions, don't go after them, don't worship them, but come to the faith that I give it to you. To come to Jesus Christ so you can have an eternal gold that will not perish forever. Amen. So the God gives us an amazing a gift, the faith. And I really encourage you, if you haven't heard this yet, please, after the service, come to talk to Pastor Scott about it and ask that, how can I have this eternal gold in my life that will never perish? Amen. So the next thing is the textile. So we said about the towels and the cotton is important. And God is saying that you are naked to these people. Instead, like they are wearing the best clothes in that time. So this is the fields in the Denizli, my hometown, Laodicea, how the cotton field looks like. It's a huge field. And this is a shop. This is I think, 8-floor shop. They're all selling towels, textiles, and the house items that you use everything day. And I say, put a news on the right. This is recent. You can see January 18. And it says White House towels produced in Turkey's Denizli. It's still the Roman king 2,000 years ago wanted to buy the best clothes from the Laodicea. And America today, the most prosperous country and the rich president, I will say, he wants to buy clothes from the same city. Is this coincidence? No. It is just because they wanted the best. So this city has the best towels. And if I know that the previous president and before they were using the same kind of the factory, we make this joke in Turkey. There's one guy in my hometown. He puts his hands in the pocket and he's like proudly walking. I am sending towels to the White House today. There's one guy in my hometown. He is very proud himself today, his business. We don't know who he is. They hid his identity anyway. But Isaiah 61:10 says like this. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with beautiful headdress. And as bride adorns herself with her jewels. So this is God's way of putting clothes on us. God say, don't go after the worldly good looking. I mean, we are so worried even today. How do we look like from outside, right? Like we try to get the best brands. Not here. I'll tell you this way. Turkey is one of the biggest fake producing the clothes. When I grew up in the high school, I had a really beautiful jacket. I loved it. One side was green, one side was blue, and it was reversible. The one side was Nike, the other side was Adidas. So you can change your style in just a moment. You just flip your jacket. And I said, like, do they know this about this clothes? Isn't that an amazing invention? Like, you just changed your brands. So even today, people in Turkey, they are trying to look so rich, even though they are poor. Like a minimum wage in Turkey is right now $500 a month. So they're not very prosperous today. But if you go to Turkey, you will see people are using the latest phones, the newest cars, and amazing clothes. And the brand new clothes. But most of them are like fake, not real. But they try to look like rich. Because they have a pride. Like they want to look good. And from the first impression is important for them. So today, it's the same thing for most of the world as applies. We go after the earthly possessions. We try to look good. We try to paint nice. We try to get a good haircut and put nice clothes on it. And maybe impress with other people, especially if you are single yet. You try to make a good impression on the other gender, right? So the God say, don't go behind those things. Just take the clothes that I give you. Take the garments of salvation. These are better than earthly ones. Take the robe of righteousness. These are more important. So let's come to the last thing, the salve. The city is famous. I don't know if I have a picture for it. Probably not. So the salve is the thing that there was a medical school in the Laodicea 2,000 years ago. There was a medical school there. So they were doctors and they were cheap. And the soil, this picture of that the pool, I think I have a picture of it. I'm pretty sure you can come to maybe another one too. Didn't I have a picture of it? Okay. So before. Yes. So you see the guys on the right? Do you see the mud they're putting on there themselves? So this water, the natural springs, has hundreds of minerals in it. So they discovered 2,000 years ago they can cure some diseases. So if you put them in a soap shape or like in a pot or make a salve out of it, they figure out it's good for your eyes. If you put it over your face, it may heal some sicknesses as big as the medicine. And if you go and take a 20 days, every day you stay in this hot pools, it may cure your arthritis or like the bone problems. It may help you to feel better. Today, why we have a hot tubs, right? The saunas, we love them. But these were natural hot tubs and saunas on that time. And the water comes out so hot, you cannot even touch it. It comes in a boiling level. You have to fill your tub and wait another 2 hours to get cool it down. It comes as a boiling level from the ground. And people drink this. There's so many minerals like magnesiums and sodiums and all the good things. But God said, you try to solve, anoint your eyes, to get the salt that anoint from me so that you may see. So God said, don't try to only heal your physical sickness, but also heal your eternal eyes so that you can see the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. So this is, God is talking to these people in a way, and to me, myself today, don't just try to heal yourself on this earth, but also invest on your eternal life. Get the eyes of salvation. Get the anointing I give it to you. And that anointing, we can call it like the Holy Spirit. When we believe in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in and starts dwelling in us, right? Do we believe in this?
Amen.
Amen. And that gives us a new eye. The Paul says, renew your mind. Renew your way of thinking and your life. And renew your body. Don't be the old people anymore. Become the saints of God. And how we do that is through the Holy Spirit. And God is warning them this, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So if you're seeing troubles in our life today, we shouldn't be surprised, because we have these problems. We have these earthly possessions. We run after them. We try to look good. We try to heal ourselves, or like go not asking God for eternal, like a spiritual healing. But God said, I will discipline you if you don't do those things. So you can repent. God wants us to repent our sins. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. This verse is so special for me. Did you know that? When I asked Zach over 14 years ago, I was going to church. So here's, I'll add some of my testimony in this part, not all of it. So I grew up in a very religious family. Okay? My father is imam. Do you know what is imam? It's a Muslim pastor. Okay? They lead the whole mosque. So I grew up in that setting, and at the age of 4, I learned how to read the Quran, and then at 7 and 8, I was teaching other people. At 13, I was preaching in the mosque and leading the people. And I was expected to be the next person in this line. But I go to high school, I started to read, I started to question about everything in this life, and including my religion. And end of high school, I said, I'm not sure if you are the real God in the Quran. Or if you really exist or not, I'm not sure. I was just like completely ignore him at the end of high school. So I started college to go in Ankara, the city, the capital of Turkey today. And 4 or 5 years, I just had really beautiful life. Enjoyed the parties and go to all the sports and camping. I even went to yoga classes, you know, try to just, you know, do something different. But I never like wanted to talk about God or search him anymore. But one day, I was walking from my school to my home, and I had only a couple lira. Like, imagine you have only $5 in your pocket. So I could do two things. Either I could take a bus, or I can eat that night. So I had to choose between them. And my school and home was like 8 miles apart. And I said, I don't want to stay hungry. I'll just walk. And I start to walk home. It's a big walk, like 2 hours take me. And when I came on the midway, I saw this book fair happens once a year. So I go to this book fair, and because I love books. And just passing by, I couldn't afford anything. The books were more expensive than food in that time. And I almost about to quit, I saw this sign. It says, the holy books. I thought they are selling the Quran and stuff, you know, the Islamic books. And I went there and asked them, like, look at it. But I see they're selling actually Bibles. I never heard any Christian. I never met any Christian in my life before that. I never been in the church, never read the Bible before. I was almost leaving because I'm not interested. These are wrong books. You know, it's changed. That's how I believed. And the guy told me, do you want to buy the book? And I said, sure, but I have only like a couple lira. He said, oh, it's good for you. Your lucky day. It's only 2 lira for you. And he took my last money, and then he gave me a package that was like a Jesus movie and a couple short books, like a tiny gospel sharing. And there was a one New Testament in it. And I took the package, came home, and started reading it. I couldn't understand anything because this is the chapter that I started to read. So in Islam, you read from right to left. So I opened the New Testament, start from the Revelation. The monsters are flying. The dragons are like, what is happening like here? That must be the beginning of this story. So I turned the first page and started read again. And I finished the New Testament that night and write down all my questions. There's a big list of questions. Like how Jesus can be God if he doesn't know the future. How God can die on the cross. How can be 100% human or 100% God. Like where is all this thing? Did Judas die on the tree or did he kill himself? Like what happened? So I had all these questions. And I wrote it down and I said, who am I going to ask these questions? So I checked the package they gave it to me. I found the church card. That was the church that Zach was going that time. That's the Four Square Church, by the way, in Ankara. Pastor İhsan, if you met him ever in future, he is the nation pastor of Turkey. He was the pastor of that church on that time. So I went to the church the next day, next morning. I passed it 10 times. I was so scared. Because in Turkey, people think the churches are dark places. Thanks to Hollywood movies. Thanks to some old Gothic Catholic churches. They think that it's so dark and a lot of candles around, the big statues and crosses and like, and they maybe sacrifice animals in there. Who knows, you know. You have a big fear to go to church. But this was a Protestant church, like Four Square Church, like this. So I passed the door 10 times, just so afraid to knock the door. But on my last attempt, I saw people in the door, two people talking. And I just go and ask them a couple questions. And they say, come for the tea time. You have a lot of questions. I said, sure, I will come over. I'm a student. If there's a tea, if there's a cookies, I'll be there. And they say, Thursday, there's a soup day. Okay, I will be there. You know, it's like, no need to ask me again. On Sundays, I started to go to church. So three times a week, I was going to church. And Saturdays, that was a youth group. I started to go that as well. And I, 6 months, I asked. I ask and ask. I remember actually right now, one of these Sundays, I go to Zach and ask a fear. In fear, I said, Zach, what if I accept Jesus and he leaves me as Allah left me in my faith? And then he opened exactly these words, and then he read, whoever knocks, it will be answered. And I will stay with him forever. And then he read me these verses. It was really encouraging for me. And so, but it didn't stop there. I couldn't accept it just as it is because my mind was actually convinced. I knew I got all my answers. Every logic was saying that Jesus is God. But at the end, I was waiting some confirmation from God. So one night, I sit down in the summertime. All my friends were gone. But I had to stay and work in the shop, like in the business. And one day, one of these nights, I read like all night long. And I ask God, please do something tiny, something small. You know, maybe a small lightning on the sky. I don't know, an angel comes from the window and like maybe a Bible start to float, you know. Something tiny like this, I can see that you are God. But nothing happened. Nothing. And I'm done. I said, maybe I should stop reading Bible and go to church because you don't hear me. If you knew that my situation right now, I'm alone, I'm praying to you, I'm waiting any confirmation, you don't do anything. And when I close my Bible and go to sleep, this is by the really early morning hours. And one of my friends knocked my door. And then he said, like, I saw a dream. And in my dream, they told me to come and talk to you and ask you about Jesus. And he was a Muslim friend. He was not even a Christian. And then he brought me food as well because I was hungry. And like, God, and I said, God, you know everything. You know my situation. You know how alone I was. You heard me. And you talked to me through my friend. And by the 7 a.m., he said, I need to go to work. He was leaving the home. And I found that myself trying to make him Christian before I was a Christian. So I was trying to convince him, like, this is the truth. This is the Bible. And when he left, I started, you know, like praying and accept Jesus as my Savior and Lord. And I called my church and, like, get baptized in the next couple months. And in the same year, we moved to Istanbul. With Zach told me, I'm going to move to Istanbul. Do you want to come over? And all my friends were gone. I was alone in the city. I didn't want to go to my hometown. You can guess the reasons. And I said, let's go. It will be good to start a church. So we moved to Istanbul about a year or two, year and a half. We did a home church in 2013. We found this place. We started a church in Istanbul, Ataşehir Four Square Church, the Kurtuluş Kilisesi. And from 2013 till 2021, the Zach was the pastor and the leading. But after that, they kicked him out of this church because there's a big persecution in Turkey. I had a Turkey picture, the Istanbul picture somewhere. This is how Istanbul looks like today. So this is the Turkey. I'll just summarize it with this. The Turkey is 99.9% Muslim country. There's about 10,000 Christians among 85 million people. Wow. So there's very few, and there's about 200 to 250 churches in the whole country. And just in Lebanon, how many churches you have in Lebanon? Mm-hmm. Pastor Scott will know this answer, maybe. I guess 30, 40, maybe more. So imagine the whole in country, we have only 200 churches in the whole Turkey. And there's 85 million people. But I made a research, there's about more than like 11,000 mosques. Just when you compare the numbers. And it's a beautiful country. It's a beautiful weather, the Bosphorus. This is the Istanbul. The left side is actually Europe, and the right side is Asia. And this picture is taken from the Europe, but the continent you see on the right is actually the Asia. So this is what in Bible called Asia Minor, starts from there. This is the church, the Council of Chalcedon, just happened on the right corner of this picture. This is an important country, so we should please pray for the Turkey. There's a lot of persecution over the believers, especially the foreigners. They've been getting kicked out of country. So in just last 1 month, there's over 40 people's resident permit canceled or work permit, and they forced to leave them the country. And they're mostly believers. And these people are having the struggles. So the government is actually good. I mean, they are letting you to have a churches, or you can do printing books and stuff. There's some kind of freedom, but you're not welcomed by the people. That's the real persecution comes from, the families and friends. So I couldn't share with my family that my belief, almost like 2 years, I was hiding it. I was going to church, like I was so afraid, because when a Muslim becomes a Christian, they lose all their friends, all their relatives, and they stop talking to them, or even in the worst, they can get killed. So they take this chance on it. And I was waiting and asked a chance to share with them. And one night, I saw a dream again. God speak to me through dreams a couple of times. There's one other dream I'm going to tell you later, not today. So in my dream, my father was calling me. He learned I was a Christian somehow. And then he took me a place that I'd never been there before. And he was asking, how we can do this? How we can bring this shame to our family? Like, how we can betray all the traditions and everything? Like, I couldn't answer it, but God told me, like, do not be afraid. You will have all the answers. To just speak. And I wake up from this dream. And next day, my father called me on the phone, said, can you come over to hometown? We have to talk about something important. So he picked me up from the airport. I think that might be my first flight. I don't remember. And then he took me from the new mall. They built it. I never been there. That was built while I was out of city. And then it was the exact same place I saw in my dream. And then he asked me, like, I heard you become a Christian. Is that true? And I had no fear. I answered all the things to him. I shared the gospel with him and my mom. It didn't end up well. I get kicked out of the home and couldn't have a good relation for a couple of years. And the back and forth, still we are having the issues about sharing the religion and Lord talking about the Bible. But you can pray for them as well. I appreciate your prayers. And Lizel is a great witness to them. And she's sharing how to be a kind and loving person. And she might be the favorite in the family. Not me anymore. It's like my times are gone. So I'll finish this with the end of what Jesus said. He said, if anyone hear my voice and open the door, and you, I believe you, most of them open this door already, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me, the one who conquers. I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. We should pray today that let God give us an ear to hear his voice, to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, hear that his salvation that he calls us, and to hear the life that he's calling us to change. So we need faith in Christ to be saved, to have this eternal goal. We need his word. We learn how to garment ourselves with his clothes and his work, and we need Holy Spirit to change and be able to see again. So this is Matthew 19, I think I don't put it up there. I finish with this before I pray. Jesus said to them, Matthew 19, 28, 30. Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive a hundredfold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Amen. So we have a chance to be the first. We came to Christ in the end of these times. But he said, whoever leave these earthly things, just come and follow me. You will be granted in the same throne, to sitting with him and have eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Would you like to pray, Pastor Scott, for this?
Pray.
Okay, I'm very nervous in the praying part. It's this is what we'll do. God, we are so thankful for your word and then your revelation. And you're speaking through us your word even today. You spoke 2,000 years ago. You're speaking through all the time, and you speak eternally. You can see our shortcomings. You see our problems and where is focus on our heart and where is our sin and flesh is giving us to just to bring to sin. But your word, Lord, your Holy Spirit, your the faith in your name can only deliver us from those things. You are the one that who has given us eternal life. You are the one that who will change us. You are the one that who gives us forever kingdom, Lord. We're just so thankful for that. We're just so thankful for your spirit. So thankful for your gift of the new life, that we can have all the brothers and in this Christ family, all the brothers and sisters we have. You said hundredfold, but we're having thousandfold, Lord. You are amazingly supplying everything we need. We just want to give everything today to you, all our troubles, all our past, everything that we're struggling, but just accept the faith and your word and your spirit in your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
I just wonder, as we sing, that there's an opportunity, you know, for you to respond to that. That the same Jesus that lived 2,000 years ago is the same one giving dreams, and to hear how he's still working in the same land that he walked and that he wrote the churches to Revelation. But it's an opportunity to respond, just like the craziness that you're not here by accident and God is speaking today. And to respond either in salvation or obedience. That I encourage you as we sing this song, that you would respond, to come to the altar, to kneel where you are, to respond. Today is the day of salvation.